I wouldn't say we fell in love right away. I think we were, as they call it in the biz, trauma bonding.
And then after 8 years of being insufferably sober, I started drinking again.
Addicts tend to be rather sensitive people.
Aren't you Marc Maron? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, what happened to you?
Hi, you're listening to Light Hustler. It's a podcast about addiction recovery and sharing your dark to find your light. I've got a special guest today. His name's Dr. Josh Lichtman.
Hey, everybody.
He's a board-certified psychiatrist and double boarded in addiction medicine and psychiatry. So he knows a lot of shit, and he's going to drop some of that knowledge here on us. So my question for today is, anxiety and depression are so closely intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
You could say they're dating. I know for me, my former psychiatrist, somebody you actually went to medical school with, coincidentally.
Not medical school.
Whatever.
You did a residence.
Crossed. Doesn't matter. Nobody knows who she is.
Yeah.
Anyway, I remember
unless
her saying to me.
Unless she's listening, so
hey.
Sorry.
Now, and she really, really helped me.
Yeah.
And this was one of the things she said to me was, I don't think you suffer from depression. I think you suffer from anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and you get anxious that you're going to get depressed.
She was right.
How can you tell?
Well, there's no quick answer to that.
Right.
But, you know, although there often is this kind of hand-in-hand depression and anxiety, I see a lot of just purely anxiety patients.
Well, what's that? What does that look like?
Well, it depends. You know, there's a variety of anxiety disorders that are kind of categorized under that umbrella. So there's generalized anxiety disorder, which, you know, in one sentence, it's that you're a worrier.
Right.
Maybe that wasn't a sentence, more of a fragment.
Then there's
panic disorder, which is that you have panic attacks. And a big part of the disorder is not just the actual panic attacks, but it's fear of having more panic attacks.
Right.
Then post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's an anxiety disorder?
Is an anxiety disorder.
Okay.
And obsessive-compulsive disorder is an anxiety disorder.
Right.
So there are several anxiety disorders. And what I really try to point out to patients with anxiety disorders is that anxiety is really oftentimes this evolutionary vestigial tail.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what does that mean? I don't know, you're so smart.
Like a tail, okay?
Right.
Like a tail is useless.
He means a T-A-L-E, not a T-A-I-L.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Anxiety is something that in early life or whatever, you know, if you're thinking about, I'm having images of Land of the Lost running around dinosaurs. But we're actually native to that area. We're not traveling back like the Land of the Lost
gotcha.
People were.
Yep.
That anxiety kept you alive.
Right.
That,
the wild boar.
Yeah. And so by being anxious and being hypervigilant, that's what kept you literally alive, by being hyper aware and fearful of your life.
Right.
And the trouble is that we haven't actually evolved as a species since then very much.
Right.
And so we have these, again, these vestigial, meaning leftover, systems that have so much anxiety within them, and certain people have more or less. And they don't do us any good in the kind of the modern world that we live in now,
right.
without Land of the Lost or dinosaurs or whatever. And yet we still, our bodies and our minds think that we're, you know, about to die, or that we're really at risk.
Yeah, I know my meditation teacher has said when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you slam on the brakes, you're flooded, you know, with fight or flight, with the kind of energy and strength that you need to fight off the wild boar.
So then
it gets stored in your body.
Absolutely.
So how come some people are not anxious? I think my boyfriend, he's not anxious at all.
It definitely seems to be more prevalent in certain people and not. And it seems to be a pretty genetic thing too. Like, you'll notice families tend to have more anxiety, you
right.
know, or as I'll tell people, you run anxious. You run a little
right.
bit more anxious.
Right. Well, because that's also nature versus nurture. If you
mm-hmm.
were raised by worriers,
certainly.
You're
yeah.
going to worry.
Yeah. And there's always, you know, multiple components of it. You know, there's a nature and nurture part of it.
And so how do you treat that? There's obviously there's medication, but for anxiety, it seems like there's so many other things you can do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ironically, I'm going to kind of disagree with you here, but there's tons of different therapies for anxiety. But now, again, going back to what I said, if anxiety is mostly this physiological thing, it's something that actually responds very well to medications.
Right.
Because it's not necessarily nurture. If again, genetically I'm predisposed to be anxious, it's creating a biological anxiety as opposed to a situational anxiety.
So what are the best medications for it?
I mean, it's probably not going to be a very interesting answer, but I mean, you know, we would start off with SSRIs.
Right.
And typically anxiety requires a higher dosage of an SSRI than just a depression would.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So, and then of course, especially people who are interested in getting drugs off their doctors will try to get, they'll say like, oh, Xanax.
Yeah, or benzos.
Benzos.
Yeah.
And that is not the most effective way to treat anxiety.
No, in fact, it often makes it worse. So a benzo is like a Band-Aid. You know, it can make you feel better acutely, but then the truth is that it can actually make it worse. And
right.
That's what people don't realize, because you take a Xanax, it makes you feel better. But then what can happen is it can cause rebound anxiety, meaning that when it wears off, you may end up more anxious than you were prior to taking it.
Wow.
And let me backtrack a little bit, because I don't want to sound like I'm just purely a medicine man. I mean, there's lots of therapies that are extremely helpful for anxiety. Cognitive behavioral therapy is probably the best. And so it's usually a combination that can be the most helpful.
And
there's exposure therapy, and there's EMDR. There's all kinds of different things.
Right. Tapping, EFT.
EFT.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I know about something you don't know about. Oh yeah, we're going to talk about it once I stop recording. But also, don't look at me like that. I swear to God, EFT
is a real thing. It sounds like it's an old Michael Jackson song or something.
The other thing is, you as someone who quote unquote sits, meditation can help with anxiety, but not clinical anxiety.
Meditation is really helpful with anxiety.
So you heard it here, meditation plus medication.
But now what's EFT though? You're going to leave a cliffhanger for your listeners and me?
I don't want to be wrong, even though I am all the time. And you're making me doubt myself, because I feel like if it was a real thing, you would know. But I think it's emotional freedom technique. And I think it has to do with, it's going to sound not legit to you, like tapping.
Well, okay, I mean, we got to look this up.
We
got to
look this up. You guys, you don't need to be around while we fight. Thank you so much, Josh. That was so fascinating.
You.
Thanks, you guys, for listening. And I just want to sign off by saying we all have darkness and we can all share our light. So go out there and hustle, light hustler. I'll see you next time.